From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, I don't know how long this pandemic is going to go on. I do not know how much longer the nation will be under a de facto house arrest. I do not know how long our constitutional rights are going to be infringed upon. But I do know this, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you in this listening audience, a lot of people across the fruited plain from coast to coast and border to porous border are getting a little uneasy, maybe a lot uneasy. We have been watching a narrative unfold before our very eyes on national television, a narrative that has been suspicious to say the least. But we have listened by and large to our government leaders. We have listened to the medical experts. The nation's economy has been shut down. Mom and pop businesses around the country have been shuttered. Today, the new unemployment numbers came out. 6.6 million more Americans filing for unemployment claims. And if you are doing the math, it's either 13 million or 16 million Americans now seeking unemployment benefits because of this global pandemic. The medical experts told us, our government leaders told us, that as many as 2 million Americans would die. A horrifying number. Then they revised that number from 2 million. The number they said was the reason we had to shut down the country. We had to shut ourselves inside of our homes. We had to surrender our constitutional rights so that we might live. And then they came and told us that there would not be 2 million people who would die. They estimated that it would be as many as 240,000. And that was the number they said. That was the reason why we had to shut down our economy, why we had to shut down our businesses, why we had to surrender our constitutional rights. And then they came to us again and said that it wasn't 2 million people. It wasn't 60. It wasn't 240,000 people. It was 60,000. That is the new number. 60,000 Americans who will lose their lives, they estimate, as a result of this virus. A terrible number, no matter how you phrase it, no matter how you frame the story. A terrible number. But also a terrible number of unemployed Americans. And the question remains, exactly why is it that we shut down our country? Why is it that we shut down the economy? And I suspect that soon, very soon, those same medical leaders will come to us and they will revise their numbers again. And it's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, because as they continue to lower the numbers of fatalities and those infected by the virus, they continue to escalate the crackdown on our liberties. And if you have not noticed, if you haven't caught the tone and the tenor in my voice today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in a very, very angry mood right now. And the reason why is because of a story that we have just posted on ToddStarnes.com. And I don't know how many times I have to say this, but I feel obligated to say it because there are many in the mainstream media, including most recently Jake Tapper over at CNN, the most profane name in news, who have targeted this radio show and this audience. And they are trying to convince people that because we are asking questions, because we want to know actual facts and data, that we are somehow virus deniers, which of course is an appalling lie. But I can say this. We're in a very precarious place right now in the country, and it has nothing to do with the economy, but it does have to do with our constitutional rights. There was an incident that happened last night in the state of Mississippi. Greenville, Mississippi, that's in the Delta. I've been there many times. If you've seen the movie The Help, that movie was filmed in that beautiful town in the Mississippi Delta. Police in Greenville last night raided a Baptist church, Temple Baptist Church. This is a small Baptist church. The pastor, Arthur Scott, has been there 45 years. 45 years. Most of the congregation, very old, very elderly. They are not technologically savvy, so they can't do their services online, on the internet, or on a smartphone. So instead, they rigged up what many churches have done, a radio frequency, so the pastor could stand in the pulpit and the congregation could sit in their cars in the parking lot and listen to the pastor preaching on the radio. They've been doing it for 3 weeks. Well, last night, armed goons, identified as the local police department, showed up and raided the Baptist church's prayer meeting. Temple Baptist Church. Now, I'm a Baptist. I suspect many of you people listening to us across the nation may be Baptist or Methodist or non-denominational or Pentecostal. You go to church on Wednesday night. It's a tradition, especially in the southern states. You folks listening to us on KARN in Little Rock, you know what I'm talking about. Back in the day, there used to be a fellowship meal. People would bring in a covered dish, and people of faith would break bread together before they commenced to their RAs and GAs classes, and the men and the women would go into the auditorium, the sanctuary, for prayer meeting, and then there would be choir practice after that. It's a tradition in the Deep South and many places around the country. So there they were in the parking lot, and we have the video of what happened when the police began going car to car and knocking on the windows. Cut number four, please.
How they handled themselves.
How you doing? Hey, how you doing, sir?
If I can see your license, I'm giving you an opportunity to move city ordinance right now. Give us citations. This is a gathering, even though you're in your vehicle. If I can see your license, sir, I'll give you an opportunity to move. Not
the minister.
And you can hear the pastor preaching in the background. The police also asked for people's social security numbers. They basically asked for their papers. We need to see your papers. You're in violation of the law. Many of the people in that parking lot were elderly. One of them a retired nurse. And the guy who filmed this, a younger guy, was filming all of this. He filmed his encounter with the police officer. Cut number five, please.
Somewhere right now in the city of Greenville, real crime is going on. They got half of the police squad in Temple Baptist Church. 70 and 80 year old people, that's, most of them's never even had a speeding ticket. But this is a better use of Greenville's resources.
Are you angry, America? Are you angry? A bunch of goons showed up at a church parking lot filled with old people there to worship their God. This did not happen in New York City. It did not happen in San Francisco. It happened in the state of Mississippi, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And I got to tell you something, the mayor and the city council, and we're going to play some audio from him in just a little bit. But the reason why we're talking about this story, this is the most important story right now in America, because this is an example of what happens when Democrats take charge. They want to shut you down and they want to shut you up. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have our constitutional rights, we don't have squat. We don't have diddly squat. And I'm telling you, that mayor and the city council, they ought to be removed from office. The people who actually banned this church from gathering to have a drive-in prayer service on a Wednesday night. Shame on you. And by the way, any police officer that stepped foot on that church property, they ought to be fired. And the governor of the state of Mississippi, who we have had on this program, he needs to personally go to Greenville, Mississippi, and he needs to personally pardon any church member who's convicted of violating this emergency order. Ladies and gentlemen, every single church member in that parking lot was slapped with a $500 fine for going to a prayer meeting on American soil. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Constitution is under assault, and it's not from a virus, but by leftist lawmakers who want to silence people of faith. They want to silence freedom-loving patriots. They want to shut down the church houses. And our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. our founding fathers fought a war over the kind of aggression that happened in Greenville, Mississippi. I hope you are just as outraged as I am. We cannot allow this kind of stuff to happen on American soil. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is great to have you with us today, and we've got a lot of news to get through and a lot of important information to share with you. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line and the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi, joins us, Pastor Arthur Scott. Pastor, what an honor to have you on the program today.
Well, it's a real joy to be with you, sir.
Pastor, I want you to take our listeners through what happened with you guys. We sort of set the story up before the commercial break, and I'm pretty fired up about this, but I want you to take our listeners through what happened at the church yesterday.
Well, you know, they say there can only be 10 folks in the church, and we're honoring that. But most of our church is older people. I've been pastoring here for 45 years. And I'm on live on Facebook, but then a lot of our folks don't have that, and they're older people. And so the governor here, which is a good Christian man, said that if we could, we can come up in our cars, and we have a low frequency radio station, and I can stand in the church in my pulpit, and I can preach, and the folks can drive up in their cars and listen in their cars. We only preach, we have one special. Then I preach maybe a half an hour, and then everybody just drives home. We don't get out and shake hands or anything like that. And so we was about halfway through our service last night, and 6-7 police cars rolled up to the church, and I didn't know anything about it. I was in there preaching, and they came and began to give citations and tickets to our folks. And my daughter asked one of them what he said. Well, it's a citation or tickets for $500, and preaching in the service here. And our governor says we can do this. The local mayor says they put an ordinance in that we can't do this. But we're preaching to the people in their cars. The only time we got messed up was last night when all the police came and had everybody roll their window down, get them their license, and then wrote them a ticket, you know. And, I mean, I've been preaching 65 years. I've never had anything like this happen where they would come and you can't even preach to them in their own cars. I just don't understand it.
And Pastor, it's important for people to understand you. The reason why you guys were doing drive-in churches, you were trying to live up to what the governor had asked, and you guys were doing social distancing.
That's right. In fact, my grandson called the governor's office today, and they said that's what the governor wants. You know, he's not trying to shut down anything, but we're doing exactly what he said to do. Just drive up in cars. We're not handshaking. Are getting out of the cars. I'm just preaching to them, and they're driving home. And somehow this is a great issue, and they wrote all these tickets. I think we had about 25 cars there last night, and we had one of our men's a supervisor, and they were hesitant to give him a ticket. He said, "No, if you're giving all the rest of the members a ticket, give me one too." And so he got his. I got mine. We have a court date. I think June the 8th is our court date. So,
and Pastor, you're telling Pastor, you told me that one of the police officers had a conversation with you, and what did he tell you about the mayor?
I said they want to make an example of this. And then they went over, and from what I understand, a white church stopped a black church last night and closed them up, too, for preaching. So, you know, I can understand. Listen, we're trying to do what they said to do. We're not gathering in the church. We're not gathering outside. They're in their own car. Now, we're right down the street to Sonic, and all them people pull in there and stay there and eat your car in the Sonic. We can't preach to the folks in our cars at the church.
That's just not right. It is just not right. Pastor, so what's going to happen come Sunday? Because, you know, Wednesday night you have prayer meeting, and then Sunday night, you guys typically have a service.
Well, I told them they better bring some more tickets, because we'll be having these Easter worship. We're not going to miss our service. I told the folks to drive up. In fact, there's some other churches that I said that they might come and join with us. So we're going to do what we did Sunday. Last night, we're just going to preach, and we get some more tickets. But I think we're doing. Governor Trump's mayor any day, and so we're going to do what they said we can do, and that's all I know to do. I've been preaching on this corner 45 years. We've never missed a service, one service in 45 years, and we're not fixing to start now.
Well, Pastor, you know, here's what I want to do for you. And, of course, this court date in June, you know, we've reached out to the governor's office, too. We just think this was an egregious overstep by the local authorities. But if God forbid, you guys end up having to pay those tickets, I want to pay the fines for you guys.
And well, I appreciate that.
So we're not going to have a single member of your congregation that's going to have to pay one of those tickets. So, you know, you've got our contact information. I want you to keep us updated on this, Pastor. And that's my commitment to you. I will pay the fines if you guys are found guilty of, I don't know what, going to a prayer meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I've been 35 countries preaching around the world. I preached in Russia. I've never had that happen. Never got shut down any place that I've ever preached around the world, you know. And I preached in a lot of communist countries and never had anything like this happen.
Wow. Well, I'm just shocked, Pastor, and we're running up on a break here, but I'm just shocked that it happened in, of all places, Mississippi. You know, we're not talking about San Francisco or New York. We're talking about Mississippi.
Yeah, in the Bible Belt, and you can't preach to your folks sitting in the car.
That's a problem. Pastor, God bless you, sir. And again, keep us updated. You've got my contact information. Anything we can do to help you out, you let us know.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much, brother.
All right. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to hear from this pastor himself. You know, this is a good man. 45 years he's been preaching, over 60. Pastor Arthur Scott, Temple Baptist Church. So we're going to pay it. Look, if they have to pay the fine, we're going to pay it for him. It's around $10,000, $11,000, $12,000. We're going to pay that. 844-747-8868. We'll get to your phone calls right after the break. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. ToddStearns.com, all sorts of stuff, including video of the police raiding that small Baptist church's Wednesday night drive-in prayer service. You gotta check that out. Just unbelievable stuff. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Are you concerned about your civil liberties coming under attack? 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia, running for the U.S. Senate. Congressman, always good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you. Hope you're having a good day today. Getting ready for Easter.
Likewise, and Congressman, just before we get into to what's happening with China, these attacks on churches around the country, you know, the latest in Greenville, Mississippi, where the police raided a little Baptist church's prayer meeting, folks are getting, it's getting out of control out there.
It is, and I think that, look, everybody needs to practice the discipline they need to, and if, you know, the cars and stuff. I mean, but at a certain point in time, there is, you know, common sense needs to apply. Unfortunately, my grandmother used to say common sense isn't common. So we just need to all pull together, and especially during this time, and make sure that we look out for the liberties. We don't give up anything, and we make sure that we take care of each other.
Absolutely. I'm really excited, and I know that you've been at the forefront of this effort as well, about going after the World Health Organization. China has been lying to the world, and especially the United States of America, and then for the World Health Organization to turn around and then smack us around, it's just unbelievable.
And Todd, I agree with you. And then my question is coming out is, the more I've gotten to talk about this, and I definitely think we need to not fund them, is think about all these, quote, international organizations that are brought forth to bring international help. They seem to help everybody but the United States. They seem to be very thankful for Communist Party dictators. They're very thankful for repressive regimes. They were sitting there in January believing the communist line out of China, that no human-to-human contact. I mean, they were just downplaying this, and they were an organization that's supposed to go in and actually be investigating and give the best sound scientific advice. And if all you can do is believe the Chinese, but then criticize the American president, who you undoubtedly do not like, for taking steps to protect his country, then you've showed a political bias, and you've showed that you're not doing what the organization is supposed to be doing, and that is looking after the, quote, world's health. And that's just a sad place we're in right now.
Speaking of a sad place, the Republicans, House Republicans, trying to help out small businesses. I am a small business owner, so I greatly appreciate those efforts. But now the Democrats are stepping in, and they are blocking additional funding for small businesses. Give our listeners an update on what happened just a little while ago.
Yeah, it happened again in the Senate. It happens in the House. Again, I've just sort of gotten frustrated with this. I mean, I'll say it again. Speaker Pelosi is the Pied Piper of pork. If she can find something to add money to, it makes her very happy. And here we were, the administration. We knew the small business part would we would have to see how quickly it went and how much we could affect in a short amount of time. I knew, and at least a lot of us believed, that there would be a probability we'd have to come back and put some more into that, to the paycheck protection programs that are vital to our smaller business. And that was what the administration asked for. Before Easter, let's go ahead and get this done so that we don't have to deal with it, you know, if in case the money run out. Well, they couldn't stand that. They had to put in more money for hospitals, more money for state and local government, more money for food stamps, and issues that in which, and here's the thing, those could be discussed in this environment, and no one is trying to make sure that we hinder relief to our state and local governments or our hospitals, but those programs are still funded. They're not, all that money has not gone out, and it's not looking like it will go out in the very near future. And so to go ahead and do that now is just, you know, frankly, just trying to block it and use a crisis for your advantage. So it's frustrating, but your listeners ought to know that, look, they got delayed almost a week because of Democrat demands last time, and the Democrats look like they're going to delay it more than a week this time.
So these unemployment numbers came out, and I mean, I guess it really shouldn't be much of a surprise, 6.6 million Americans filing for unemployment. Congressman, when do we reopen the country? When do we get back to work?
As soon as possible. And I think that's one of the reasons what you just mentioned, we talked about this money getting to these businesses, so that we don't have to keep putting people on unemployment. These businesses can you know, if they need to slow back, they can furlough some, but they have ways to pay their employees, keep their benefits, make sure their rent's paid, keep their businesses open, because if you put people on unemployment, we're going to pay either way. And I don't think people understand that many times from the federal government perspective and the state government perspective. We're going to pay one way or the other. Either we're going to help these businesses keep their employees, or we're going to have to worry about the issue of unemployment and then getting these people back into the workforce. So my hope is that we're seeing some encouraging numbers, not, you know, that we're there. We're not even, you know, I don't think over the top, but we're at least seeing some numbers slow down. We're seeing areas like California and Washington being able to help out other states and the East Coast. And so my hope is that you know, in the very, you know, near future, in the next few weeks, in May, that we'll start seeing a lot of, you know, hopefully some things start coming back, and especially in areas that have been relatively low hit as compared to some of the harder hit areas.
On the campaign side, you've got to be feeling pretty good. TheHill.com reporting that an internal poll that your team conducted shows that you've got a massive lead over Senator Kelly Loeffler, who has some serious issues she has yet to address regarding those stock transactions. I want to get your reaction to the polling data.
It showed what we believe all along, and that is we were, our numbers are resonating with the people of Georgia, and that they understand that when we say that we're tested, that we're trusted, that we're proven, you know, when we look at them and say, look, we've been there for you and we've been fighting, they can say, yes, I know that. Doug, I've watched you on TV. I've watched you fight for this president. I've watched you fight for our tax reform. I've watched you fight against sham impeachment and the liberals. You can't say, you know, that I'm not a conservative. And when you have issues with the Senator Loeffler having to deal with stock transfers, that people just aren't buying it. And even as she said yesterday, she's going to sell them all and put them into mutual funds. It just left more questions than it really has. And the concern was, it wasn't that she was doing this. As she just said just a few days ago, she told a reporter, I would not have done anything different. Well, then 3 days later, she's now redoing the way she did it. Not because it seemingly was wrong. It was because the poll numbers, and it got caught. And so we're going to continue to focus on her. I mean, if she's got a trust problem, then Georgians aren't buying her answers at this point.
And if nothing else, this is going to serve as a very important reminder to Republicans that identity politics, just picking someone because they're a man or a woman or the color of their skin instead of the best person for the job, it doesn't work.
Well, I've always believed that you get out there no matter where you're at. I'm a trooper's kid from North Georgia. I just go out and work hard, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And, you know, let others run their campaign, but the people of Georgia have been very, very responsive. They've been, even during this time of shutting it down and being at home, we've had a lot of folks' engagement on our websites and social media, and it's been good. It's been good to have people out there, and they're excited about this campaign.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Thank you.
Todd, have a great day. Take care.
Congressman Doug Collins from the state of Georgia running against Senator Kelly Loeffler. She was appointed to fill the remainder of Senator Johnny Isaacson's term. He left because of health issues. And it turns out that Loeffler is, she has no political history. And a lot of folks are suggesting that maybe she's not as conservative as she says she is. Who knows? But she's got a big problem right now with these stock transactions and those polling numbers. Pretty shocking. All right. Let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868 is our toll free number. Again, that's 844-747-8868. Bobby from Orangeburg, South Carolina, listening to our live stream. Hi, Bobby. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd, during this Holy Week. And you were talking about that church in Mississippi. Our church is entirely shut down with no services. And I've been watching my good friend Joe Wilson's ARP Presbyterian Church. But all these online church services primarily use San Francisco-based services where Big Brother can look at you. But as with the Mississippi situation, they're saying you can't even do drive-in theater-type services in churches?
That is true. And it's not just there. They're also issuing those orders in Kentucky and also Indiana. So they're telling these churches for Easter Sunday, you're not even allowed to go and park a car and sit in your car and listen to the church service from your, you know, car radio.
Yeah, it seems like we're going to a point now that the left is seeing, hey, remember what happened after the Great Depression? We got 20 years of permanent progressive rule, and I think they're trying to recreate the scene for another 20-year permanent progressive rule, just like they did with the Great Depression by inflating the government, and now in our post-Obergefell era, make the government so huge that churches must be destroyed to get the government to its permanent progressive mentality with ideas such as letting guys and girls bathrooms and giving sexual perversion so many rights that Christians are sent to the back of the bus.
Well, it does make you wonder, Bobby, where all of this is going. And that's my concern. Bobby, thank you for the call. Folks, we're going to have to take a break. Are you ready to get back to work? Or are you willing just to wait this thing out? Because there is going to be a clash of ideology very soon on whether or not we should reopen the country or not. And I'm telling you, the Democrats, given their preference, they would keep the country closed at least through the summer. So my question to you is, what do we do here? Do we go ahead and just say, you know what, it's not bad in some of these states, let's go ahead and reopen these states? Or let's reopen the whole country and just take our chances. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're with Todd Starnes.
To the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. And I, you know, every now and again, I didn't mean to alarm all of our new listeners over at KARN in Little Rock. You folks in North Carolina, Georgia, the rest of you folks, you know I get a little riled up every now and again. But what really angers me is when government comes in and tries to silence you and they try to stifle your constitutional freedoms. And you know what? If we can't stand up for that on this radio program, then what are we even doing here? So I'm going to shout as loud as I possibly can. And I can promise you this. I know our staff has already been in touch with the pastor. And I think we're going to be able to get these fines reversed for these good people. But if we don't, then they're not going to have to worry about that. We're going to take care of all of the fines. That's just something we're going to do here. It's just unacceptable. And we do that every now and again around the country when we see a great injustice. And I just got an email as we were coming back from break. And apparently there's been a church in Virginia that has been issued a summons. So we'll look into that. And I want you guys to keep us posted about what's happening in your towns and neighborhoods. You know how we found out about what happened in Mississippi? We have a couple of listeners to the radio program in Greenville, Mississippi, and they sent me a note last night. Just as all of this was happening. So thank you for that. And folks, we've got to have each other's backs here. That's what this is really all about. Because honestly, I'm not quite sure what this virus and what this pandemic is really all about. And I don't think anybody does. Now, I want you to think about something. How is it that we're putting our hope and our trust and our faith in these medical experts, and even they do not understand what they are dealing with? It went from 2 million to 240,000 to 60,000, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, according to the CDC, is actually lower than the numbers of people who die every year from the common flu. And by the way, they're still not giving us information, hard data that they have, but they're not releasing. And we've been asking these questions. And I want to preface this again for the folks over at CNN, the most profane name in news, and this investigative unit that they have actually assigned someone in this investigative unit to listen to monitor this radio program. We do believe there is a virus, and we do believe it is killing people across the country. It is a terrible thing. But we also need to know some facts and data to understand what we are dealing with. Are we dealing with a virus that is killing 60,000 Americans or 2 million Americans? Can they tell us exactly right now how many hospital beds are being used in New York City? And I ask that because Governor Andrew Cuomo just a couple of weeks ago said, we need 60,000 hospital beds in New York. Now, he originally said they only have 20,000 hospital beds. 20,000 hospital beds in New York. The governor said they needed 60,000, but now he says they have plenty of beds. Okay, well, if that's the case, then how many of those beds are currently occupied? Are they looking at every hospital in the city that is at capacity? What about the Javits Center? By the way, we, and when I say we, I mean taxpayers, have been setting up these field hospitals all over the country. How many people right now are being treated inside the Javits Center in New York City? Well over 1,000, 1,700 beds, I think, in the convention center. What about in the on the military hospital ship that is docked right off of right in the Hudson River? They're not giving us any of this information. Aren't you curious as to know why that is? Is it possible? Is it very possible that the mainstream media has created, has concocted this narrative that flies in the face of reality? That is, yes, this is a very serious health issue. But the mainstream media, they have concocted this reality program that makes this the apocalypse. And I'm just, again, looking down the road here. Anybody who dares to ask these questions is called some sort of a coronavirus denier. They want to destroy and diminish any person who raises these very legitimate questions. And you know what? I don't care. We're going to call them out. We're going to go after. And when they come after us, folks like the New York Times and these sleazy people in the CNN K-Files unit, we're going to call them out. But something doesn't add up here. And when you look down the road, exactly when will we be able to open up the country? Because the argument is, well, if you reopen the economy and you reopen the country, well, you're going to kill all the elderly people and the at-risk populations. Okay, well, we don't want to do that. I'm a pro-life person, and that means I am pro-life for the unborn, and I am pro-life for the elderly, and I am pro-life for everybody in between. We don't want to do that. But what if that means we have to shut down the country for 6 months? What happens if that means we have to shut down the country for a year? Because they're talking about these kinds of things. We're not making this up. They're talking about these things. So where do you say, okay, we need to have a conversation about when to restart everything, but we also need to have a conversation, ladies and gentlemen, over what the heck just happened? What just happened to our country? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, a doctor and a state senator from Minnesota. And you're going to want to stick around and hear what he has to say. Also, a Democrat pro-lifer booted from the Democrat Party. We'll tell you all about that coming up next.